Welcome, loyal pod listeners, to episode 18 of the Obsessive Viewer Podcast. Quick note before we get started, I just want to mention that we recorded this a little while ago, and in the interim between then and now, the news has changed about Paranormal Activity 5. It's being released next October, not in January, like I say in this episode. As always, please let us know what you think of the podcast, and in honor of this episode, let us know what scares you in movies and TV shows and life in general, all that stuff. You can contact us at ovpodcast@gmail.com. You can also find us on Twitter at ObsessiveViewer, at I am Mike White, and at ObsessiveTiny. Check out the blog at ObsessiveViewer.com, where we post content regularly. Or if you want to just skip right to the podcast on the site, go to ovpodcast.com. There you'll find all the back episodes of the podcast. Finally, check out podcastland.com. That's this new website that has a bunch of different podcasts collated from Reddit and a bunch of other places, and it's really interesting, really cool. You can vote for us to be Podcast of the Month under the TV and Film category. We'd really appreciate it. All right, I'm done rambling. I'll let you listen to the podcast now. Hope you enjoy it.
My grandpa actually lived in Irvington, New York, named, of mm-hmm. course, for Washington Irving. And his high school was Irvington, and his school mascot were the Headless Horsemen, which was awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I know. As soon as my mom told me about that, I, like, grew a fascination for all things Headless Horsemen. Even this was, like, around the time Sleepy Hollow came out, you know?
Nice.
So, yeah.
That's cool.
That's yeah. very cool. That reminds me of one of my favorite episodes of, what was it? It was Are You Afraid of the Dark, I think, did a Headless Horseman episode.
Yeah.
And that was one of my favorites.
I remember.
Love that show.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, guys, you're listening to the Obsessive Viewer podcast. I'm Matt. Joining me today is Tiny and Mike.
Mm-hmm.
We're kicking off Shocktober. Which is a little hokey to call it that, but I mean, we've called it that for years. I'm a huge fan of just watching horror movies all month, and me and Mike often swap notes, and Tiny begrudgingly humors me when I talk about it. So,
oh, so Tiny, you don't do Shocktober as diligently as we?
Nowhere near as diligently. I dabble a little bit. I'll watch a couple movies. Matt will usually give me a couple good recommendations, and I'll watch one or two, but I don't get into it quite as much as he does. Like, how many did you watch last year, Matt? Didn't you, like, almost get two a day?
No, last year was a bit of a disappointment, I think. Because last year I don't know how much I watched, but the year before was my big record-breaking year. I watched 57 movies.
Gosh. Holy cow.
Yeah.
That's insane. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was definitely... So I needed a break a year later, so I kind of just went at my own pace last year and kind of just watched movies just to, like I would normally watch movies instead of just making it a big event.
Yeah.
Okay.
I always say it's the most wonderful time of the year.
I look forward to it like it's Christmas.
I do. Totally.
Yeah.
It's my favorite holiday. It's all that.
And you and I just... We go nuts about it.
Yeah.
For you it started
like our freshman year of college when we met back in 05.
Yeah.
I think
actually not necessarily what it started for me was the year after that, because that year I think around Halloween or whatever, I think you went home for the weekend or something.
Yeah.
And I was like, I kind of feel like watching like a horror movie, and I realized I didn't really have any, like I didn't own like really any, shockingly
yeah.
enough.
Yeah.
Shocktoberingly enough.
No.
For our listeners, just woke up. So yeah. And I'm battling a cold. That's forgivable.
Yeah.
But shockingly enough, I didn't really own any because, I mean, I've always been a horror fan. But I just didn't own any. So I watched like Vertigo. That was like the closest thing to like a horror movie that I had.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. It started for me. Shocktober in its current incarnation, in terms of watching as many as we can and making note of it and talking about it. In 2008, September of 2008, I said, hey, Matt, wouldn't it be cool if in October we watched as many horror movies as we could, and then and then by the end of it, we kind of compare notes? And your response immediately was, I actually do that with every movie I watched, which blew my mind. It blew my mind, and I was like, oh, my God, I have to do that.
Yeah, because that was like a year after I started tracking all my movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My, I'm looking at the list now, and my first movie on my list is stupid. September 14th, 2008, Intolerable Cruelty.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coen Brothers.
It was the Coen Brothers, yeah. But I watched that, and then what made me think about it was because Scream was on TV either the 13th or the 12th, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, so I knew I was going to start watching Scream like by the end of the month, and then as soon as October was going to start. So this is this year starting now is it will be my sixth Shocktober.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
yeah. This is I mean, 2009 is kind of muddled because I kept track of all my movies on my phone.
Oh yeah.
Didn't back it up because I was just a kid. And then my phone just crapped out and I lost everything. So after I have, it's so sad, but in my folder for movies watched and all that, I have 2009 and I have it partial. I've partially reconstructed the movies of that year.
That sucks.
Like, yeah, like I went through like my Netflix history and, like I checked, double checked with Tiny's cause he kept his up that year. And kind of saw like, okay, these are the ones we watched together. I remember watching this one. This is one that I borrowed from him, all that stuff. So I have a partial list, but nothing exact.
It's really an obsession. I can't imagine. People tell me, well, why don't you just stop doing it and then you won't be so obsessed with writing it down? I was like, yeah, but if I miss one, everything will be ruined. I also save my movie tickets every time I go to a movie theater. And,
oh, who doesn't? I mean,
most people do, I know. Or a lot of people do. Some people
I'm not cheapening that at all. I'm just saying, like, that's a movie fan staple.
And I went to, this past summer, we saw The Heat in North Carolina where my family goes for vacation. And I lost the movie ticket.
Oh.
So gosh. I've been, everything in my life has kind of been gray since then. For a couple months now. And I don't know what to do about it. I can respect that.
Yeah, I used to do the same thing. I used to save my tickets too, and then one time I lost one, and then I lost another one, and I was like, you know what, that's it, I can't do it anymore because I lost two, and so I quit.
Yeah, that's okay. I'll do then. If I lose two, I'm done.
I had them all in my wallet, like years and years worth of them in my wallet.
Yeah,
and I was at a high school football game, and I didn't realize until after it was an away game, like. Tiny, where's Weebo? Where's Western Boone relative to Speedway? It's kind of far, isn't it?
Yeah, it's probably about 30 miles.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, it was there, and I left my wallet there. Like, I forgot it.
Oh.
And I never recovered it. I had to get, like, a new license, all that stuff. But I was like, my movie stubs were in there.
That's the worst part. That's what it sounded like when you were telling this story was, I mean, I lost my driver's license, all that stuff. But the movie tickets.
The movie tickets. And, like I had a ticket in there. I had a stub from when I saw Final Destination in the theater. And that was – I saw that movie. And that was a very memorable experience for me because my mom took me because I was just a kid.
Oh.
And – While we were leaving, we went to like McDonald's or something to get like a drink on the way there or something. And then as we're pulling out of it, this car in front of us goes into the street to make a left turn and just gets T-boned and flips over. Whoa. And like just
wow.
Yeah, and like we got out and we helped her and all that stuff, and then she was fine, everything was okay. But then being a kid, seeing that, and then going to see Final Destination.
Yeah, wow. That's terrifying.
It just helped the movie so much. Like it made the movie that much more enjoyable.
Helped the movie
for me.
That family's awful experience.
Yeah. I mean, she's okay, I assume.
But,
so.
But you're totally right about how you know, you just look at the movies you watch and movie tickets, and I'll look through my old movie tickets and be like, oh, that was the first movie I saw with that girl, or the last movie I saw with that girl. I have the first ticket sold to Star Wars Episode III at the Corridon Cinemas,
that's
which
cool.
is pretty awesome. My boss, his brother owned the theater, and he bought us all tickets. And see, he even said to me, he's like, "This is the first one. This is the first one sold." So that
that's
was pretty cool.
So cool.
Yeah. That's really awesome.
Oh, man. Yeah. But going back to tracking our movies and everything, like, Tiny will attest to this because he was there. But I was doing my my movies watch list for July, and I did it. I completed it, all that stuff. I was getting the blog post ready because I post it on the blog every month. And I flipped out because I realized I forgot to include Smash.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. It was like everything was awful for the day.
I was like, I had to go on to Get Glue and backtrack to see what I watched it and all that stuff. And all I was thinking was, is there something else that I forgot? Maybe something that I forgot to check into Get Glue for it? And is there?
You're not doing it That's justice. Funny. You lost your mind.
Oh, I lost my mind. Crazy. I did because.
You were like, what? 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 What?
Yeah.
How did it was like stuttering and just you were so it was hilarious.
It ruined my night.
Yeah. It did.
Ruined
yeah.
my night.
I bet. Well, yeah. We,
so funny.
It's funny that it ruined your night. I guess we could use that as a segue. Several movies have ruined my nights over the years, and because it is October. Now, the best month of the year, and we're talking about Shocktober. Today we're talking about things on screen, things in movies, things in TV that scare us. So, yes. Since Matt and I have been doing a lot of talking, Matt, I'll let you talk. But Tiny, I want to hear you first. What scares you?
All right. What scares me is actually the whole alien world. alien abductions, alien... whatever, all that stuff just absolutely scares me. Even kind of a crappy movie like Battle Los Angeles, you know, like not a good movie or anything, but like that's not a scary movie per se. Obviously it's an action movie, but even that, like just the whole concept of an alien invasion, I find scary. But even more so, the biggest example I use is actually from a television show, The X-Files. There are several episodes throughout that series that have to do with alien abduction. It's actually the kind of the overarching storyline for the whole series is actually about alien abduction, and they really filmed some of the most scary scenes that I've ever seen regarding that concept, alien abduction. Yeah. And it's, let's see, I think the episode, I can't remember exactly where it's at. But I think it's in the first season. It just like the cold open for the episode involves an abduction. And it's absolutely terrifying. Like whenever just thinking about it right now, I'm getting a little shaky. I wish I could elaborate on what it is about it that scares me. I think it's just part of it has to do with the concept that I think aliens absolutely exist. Like I know that's kind of a weird, crazy person opinion to have, but I think it's not so much that I think they've I don't necessarily think they've actually visited Earth and all that stuff just because of, you know, science.
Yeah.
But also because of science, I think it's borderline obvious that there is other life out there that's as advanced or possibly more advanced than humans are. And so
right. Well, and whether or not they're humanoid form, that's a discussion for another day.
Exactly.
But yeah, exactly. I agree with you, yeah.
Yeah, the name of that episode for The X-Files is Dwayne Barry. Which is the name of the character who gets abducted from the second season. It's just, I can't even, if you can find it on YouTube, just YouTube Dwayne Barry, and you can, I think they have a clip of it, the first abduction. It was, I watched that show religiously when I was a kid, and it ruined, like, that whole year for me, because I would just have nightmares about that. Yeah.
That's great. I'm going to, back you up fully and say that a lot of alien scenes scare the poop out of me. The thing is, I don't know that I think about it. When Matt, you brought up the concept for this podcast to me, I was like, oh, cool. We'll talk about some really cool, scary movies and maybe some that are our favorites. And then I got to thinking about it. I was like, well, that's kind of tougher than it looks, because we're not talking about the best horror movies. We're talking about what scares us. And right. when I think about the canon of great horror movies, I don't really think of alien movies. But there are movies, definitely, are scenes with aliens in them that scare me. Did you see VHS 2 yet?
I did, yeah.
I feel so bad because I haven't watched it. I haven't seen it.
No.
So, yeah, sorry, guys.
did the fourth segment scare you?
It really did.
Tiny.
It really did.
It did? Good. Yeah. Me too.
I mean, I took some issues with the thing in that segment, I guess. I took some issues with it because it was weird, because these aliens were just, like, chasing after these kids, and then, like, they chased this one kid all the way up into the attic, and at the end, they just broke through, like, the ship or whatever, like, broke through the roof and just did the classic whole, you know, tractor beam sucking
right.
up. I'm like, so why were they even chasing him if they could just pull him straight out of the house?
Do that in the first place. Yeah.
But it was still really scary.
Right.
Yeah.
And Matt had to cut it out, but he was holding his fingers in his ears going, ah, la, 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 that whole time.
Yeah, I was just blowing my nose the whole time. So.
But actually, just personally for me, I'm going to break some hearts here, but the one movie like that really defined, I think, my fear of aliens is actually E.T.
Oh, wow.
Steven Spielberg's delightful classic E.T., I don't know what it is, but, you know, that movie came out in, like, mid-80s. I think it was before I was born it came out. But I watched it when I was very young. I was, like, 4 or 5. And for some reason, I don't know, that little alien just scared the crap out of me. And from the first time I saw it till I was probably, like, 10 or 11, maybe even a little older than that, I kid you not, I would have a recurring nightmare about
wow.
E.T. chasing me through my house, and he would chase me. I was, you know, a stupid horror movie staple where I would run to somewhere that I couldn't escape from, and so I'd always run to the upstairs bedroom of our house, and he would just destroy me. And seriously, that...
Destroy
I know,
me.
I know. And like
right here.
Yeah, thank you for that.
But now you just destroyed your pants.
Yes.
You know what's funny about that? Sorry. Real quick about E.T. is that people were saying online that when War of the Worlds came out, Spielberg's War of the Worlds, it would have been such an awesome ending if at the end, like, they revealed that the aliens were actually the E.T.s from E.T.
Yeah.
That kind of would have been full circle. So
that was E.T. was the movie for me for my mom, I guess, that she knew that I would be a sensitive soul, because she remembers that for me was one of those movies like what I like to call a babysitter movie, when parents need to do something, so they'll put me in front of a movie just to settle me down or whatever. Was E.T. And when I would cry at the end of that movie, my mom knew I would be sensitive, a sensitive person.
Aw.
Nice.
Yeah.
I wish
it's not a very proud story to tell, but...
that's a good one.
Yeah.
It's much better than my interpretation of the film.
Yeah. I think mine is a normal reaction to E.T.
Right.
rather than terror. Yeah.
And, like, I haven't watched that movie in... I mean, obviously I can watch it and enjoy it now, but I don't think I've watched it in... forever, because it's like a Vietnam flashback for me.
Yeah. You know, did I read somewhere that M&M's turned down to be in that movie? Like they asked M&M's if they wanted to be in that movie, and they said no, so Reese's Pieces did it instead, which put Reese's Pieces on the map.
I heard that
awesome.
I remember that little piece of trivia, like it really like boosted the sales of Reese's Pieces after that movie came out, because that's how popular it was.
Right. Yeah. And not that I don't think M&M's needed it, but it makes you wonder what would have happened.
That's cool.
And I've heard that Oren Peli, I think that's how you say his name, he did the first Paranormal Activity movie, and I think he produced the Chernobyl Diaries, which was awful, but he announced that he was going to do an Area 51 movie, like a found footage movie.
Yeah, and whatever happened with that?
I don't know. I think it just... I don't know. I don't know if it's lost in production purgatory or what, but I it just sounded, because the Paranormal Activity I thought was really scary too, and
yeah, we'll get to that later on in that.
So I'd like to see him make that and probably ruin my life.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, Matt, do you want to kind of save your segment for last? Do you want me to go next?
Yeah, well, what I want to do is, Tiny, you have other alien movies, yes?
Off the top of my head.
We'll get into it later. Yeah. We'll circle back to that here in a bit. But
give it the old reach around.
Yeah. What I want to do is kind of just do like a... I'm looking up Area 51 right now, sorry. What I want to do is basically I'll give my overview of what scares me, and then Mike, you can give yours, and then then we can kind of circle back to aliens, talk about that, and then we'll kind of go through each one.
Okay.
But as for me, what scares me is it's the supernatural, the paranormal kind of stuff, like ghosts and such. And I know I've had many, many conversations with you, Mike, about this, because there's a gulf between us.
There
when
is.
It comes to this.
As often as we agree, this is not one of the things.
But it's interesting because my my fear of the paranormal or whatnot is I would attribute it to my mom, actually, because throughout my entire life she's always been like this
dead.
No, she's been dead the entire time. No, she was very, very, I guess, spiritual, and like she was very, like, very accepting of, blindly accepting to the idea of ghosts existing and all that. Uh-huh. So I kind of grew up thinking like, oh yeah, ghosts exist. That's just a fact of life. That's okay, cool. So like I'd go and like try to any dark room would be like, oh, this place is haunted. So there's a little bit of a nostalgia there for me for ghost stories and all that. But in like now I've grown out and kind of grown to realize, yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily believe in the paranormal in that sense, like the like ghosts and all that. I'm not sure if I believe in it or anything, but it's still something that kind of gets me going and gets me kind of scared. So like and we'll circle back and I'll talk about the movies specifically, but yeah, that's the kind of movie that'll really terrify me. Mm-hmm. Mike, what's yours? What scares you?
Well, I guess I'm gonna have to go with the opposite of that. I'm gonna have to go with the real. That's not to say, again, I guess to kind of put a cap on the three of us, that's not to say I'm not afraid of alien stuff, and that's mm-hmm. also not to say that there are supernatural things that I find scary. When certain things are well done, I find it scary. If you remember back in July, I talked about The Conjuring, and I loved it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But for me, it is slashers, and that is probably also from my childhood.
Nice.
Interesting.
I remember watching the first probably true slasher I ever watched from start to finish was Scream 2.
Oh,
which
nice.
Which I'm actually a lot older than that makes me sound. You know, yeah. I was just so afraid from an early age. A funnier story, when I was in first grade-ish, maybe second grade, Jason Goes to Hell was released. Do you guys remember that?
Oh, yeah.
That gem of a movie. And I had a friend in that class who was kind of like it was a split class, so it was like first graders and second graders, and he was in second grade, and he was kind of a troublemaker and cool, so I looked up to him in that way, and he was mm-hmm. he rented or bought on VHS Jason Goes to Hell, mm-hmm. and he was like, you got to come over and watch it, and I was like, all right. So I concocted this plan to tell my dad. We couldn't come up with a better movie than to tell him we were going to watch Alice in Wonderland. I was like, I'm going over to Anthony's house, and we're gonna watch Alice in Wonderland. And my dad, know why, didn't think any the wiser. And he's like, we'll take your brother, too. And I was like, oh. My brother, who was like five. And he walked in Chicago. It was like... a block down the end of the street, and then like three blocks the other way. I don't know. It's kind of pointless since you can't see it. Whatever. He lived a ways away, and my brother and I walked down there, and we put the movie in. And the movie starts with this girl taking off her clothes and taking a shower in the cabin.
Nice.
And then Jason jumps down, and Jason chases the woman through the woods, where it's actually a trap, and a bunch of guys with big guns shoot Jason. And then there's Jason's dead body, and this guy eats Jason's heart. And that's about as far as I got back then. I've of course seen it since a couple times.
Right.
But that's as far as I got. And I was like, I gotta go get something from home. I'll be back. and I left my brother there, right? And so I walked home just terrified out of my mind at what I had just seen. Yeah. Terrified out of my mind. Watching somebody get killed, and then another guy eat his heart just terrified me. So I get home a couple hours later, or an hour and a half later or whatever. Kevin is home, and I get in a little bit of trouble for leaving Kevin there, but it's Alice in Wonderland. Who cares? My dad needs a parents. And so we're laying in bed, and I'm like, Kevin, so did you watch the whole movie? He goes, I'm not Kevin. And I was like, what? God. And he goes, I'm Jason.
That is awesome.
And I didn't sleep. Oh. And I wonder if that is why my whole life, slashers have been it for me.
Wow.
And we'll go into more detail later when we talk about specific movies. But, you know, Halloween, again, Scream 2, when I saw that, all scared the crap out of me. But I think my brother, as a 5-6-year-old or whatever, however old he was, I'm Jason. Was it for me? That was it.
Wow.
That's a cool story.
Your
brother sucks.
He did. A younger brother too. He did suck. He sucked a lot.
Oh, that's great.
But then I was terrified of Jason from then on. Even like the guys who had the chainsaws in the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles video game for NES. That scared the crap out of me. And I remember specifically one night being in bed and hearing, I guess, a knock on the door or something downstairs, and then what I thought was a chainsaw starting up and killing my mom. So I jumped out of bed and ran downstairs as fast as I could. I can't believe Jason is in the house. He's killing my mom. I thought Jason had a chainsaw. I was confused in my movies.
Sure.
And then it was just my mom vacuuming downstairs.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's great.
But that scared the crap out of me.
That's awesome. So yeah, we all have different things that scare us, and both aliens and slashers can scare me in the right context, but I mean paranormal just scares me more. But and like you and I, Mike, we've discussed this difference between us.
We have
very in depth.
Yeah, we've analyzed and we've talked about why is it that each gets each of us?
Yeah, like for me with the paranormal, it's like you can't see it, so you can't create, like it's not a visible thing. It's an entity that you can't control, or you don't have any. There's no parameters for it. It can do anything, and that just terrifies me because you have no control over the situation. Whereas with like a human slasher, I mean, you can, like, I always make the argument, like, yeah, just carry a gun with you and you're good. But
right.
Not that I'm a gun nut or anything, and I don't own a gun or anything. So I mean, in that situation, I'd be useless.
Yeah.
One of those.
And then, of course, my argument is and none of us believe in any of the supernatural. I definitely don't. I mean, I don't believe in ghosts. I don't believe in any of that stuff. People do put on masks and kill other people. That's true. That happens. It just happens. And I guess the idea that might happen terrifies me.
That's what's different. Yeah. Or that's, I would say, that the most notable difference between the three of us is that what scares Matt and I is semi-plausible, sort of, but what scares Mike is a confirmed fact that happens all the time. So that's the most notable difference, in my opinion.
Yeah. It is, absolutely. What's weird, though, is that I don't watch these slasher movies, these movies of real people killing real people, semi-real people. I guess I'm moving away from Jason Voorhees. And I don't look at them and just feel disturbed. And it doesn't wreck the world for me when I'm done. I am more than anything entertained.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure why I pick that as the scariest thing. You would think if I meant that, it would it, if that's what scared me, it's because I just get sad about the world, but not really. You know what I mean? When you right. watch Scream, I love it because it's funny. It's mm-hmm. scary at times. Not because it's real, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So, yeah.
In Tiny, it's funny because alien abductions and alien malevolent aliens and all that, that's kind of, it's almost like a middle ground between mine and Mike's.
Yeah, because, it is very interesting.
Yeah, because yeah. Mike's is real. Mine's, I mean, let's face it, it's we've been, as humans, we've been on the planet for a long time, and there's no confirmed ghost sightings and all that. It's all in the brain, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's debatable and all that, but I mean, there's still, like, that's one thing that gets, that makes me angry when these horror movies come out, especially like demon possession movies that's like based on a true story. It's like the trailer for The Possession said like based on a true story. And then in the trailer, like you see like a hand coming out of a little girl's throat or something. It's like,
yeah.
That's not like if half of the movies that say that they're based on a true story were actually based on a true story, the entire world would be a vastly different place than the one we live in.
You're totally right. Let me tell you how I make that okay in my mind is that they are stories. It truly someone told that story.
Right.
Yes,
and that's kind of how I say, okay, well, it's based on a real person who told this story.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean?
It's like a movie that we're going to talk about this later when we circle back to you, Mike, the Strangers. Like, that's based on the story of the writer-director as a kid. Someone knocked on his door and asked for the wrong person.
Right.
I guess. And to my knowledge, he found out, like, later, like, oh, someone was attacked. And another down the street or something.
Yeah.
So it's not like confirmed that that's what happened and
right.
all that.
Right.
But yeah. But anyway, before we waste a ton of more time, not that this is a waste of time or anything, but I want to circle back to Tiny and talk more about aliens. Mm-hmm. Tiny, you said that you didn't really have any off the top of your head.
I thought of a couple, actually.
I did two for you, but go ahead.
But one that truly scared me. I remember this experience in the theater was Signs by M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh, nice.
And, you know, he's become kind of a boon, so it's weird to talk about it.
Yeah.
That movie I thought was really well done, and not just because it was scary, because really that movie is about, it's not about an alien invasion. It's a subtextual film. It's about
faith.
And all that stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. But the invasion scenario in that movie, it's not that movie's not even really about abduction, it's about an invasion, but just you know, the part where they're at home and they have everything boarded up, and that just absolutely scared the crap out of me. That movie was another great example. But and even to get back to another example of something that shouldn't scare me, like E.T., Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which is again, a very charming film that I watched that recently, and that's a movie that I actually can watch and really enjoy, because it's a very hopeful film. That's what I love about it. But I mean, the part where the little kid gets abducted, ironically, he lives in Muncie, Indiana.
Oh, that's right.
But part where he gets abducted and like they pull him through the door and all that is, that just scared, and I saw that when I was really young. That scared the crap out of me when I was a kid.
Yeah,
and even the part in the very end, spoiler alert, when the ship is, you know, they're interacting with the ship and the aliens come off the ship, I was like, oh, don't touch it, dude, get away from it, it's gonna kill you. You know, it was ridiculous. But yeah,
that's funny.
I guess I don't know why, it just really gets to me.
Yeah, that movie changed the way I eat mashed potatoes.
What about the most obvious Halloween in space?
Oh, wow, that's not the one I was going to say.
Alien, right?
Alien, yeah. Alien. Oh, Halloween in space.
It's Halloween in space.
Yeah.
I love it for that reason.
Yeah,
I'll talk about Halloween in a minute, but I love it that way.
Yeah. I take issue with that, with saying that it's Halloween in space, just because I feel like that's almost like, not derogatory toward it, but I mean, it's just, it... Because, I mean, it is, there is a way to, I don't know how to explain it. Like, you can say that it is, and I'm okay with it, but mm-hmm. I still think it's like...
You don't like that it implies a derivation of from Halloween?
Yes, yes. Okay. Oh, okay. It's, because that movie is a classic. I love it. And
it is.
I mean, this is speaking, I mean, I watched it for the first time like a year or two ago. And I just can't get out of my head. I love it so much, but
yeah.
And I know Tiny has more to say about it, but, actually I'll yield the floor to Tiny. What do you think of Alien? How did that affect you?
Alien, I think it is a scary film, but it didn't necessarily scare me that much. I think it's because it's the, I guess the drive of the alien, what drove it was it was just an evil thing that just killed people. It didn't have...
Yeah, like the shape of evil. Like
right.
The shape. Like the shape.
It just...
okay, yeah.
Yeah, like the alien didn't want to... It didn't want to study us. It didn't want to take our land or, you know, inhabit our planet. It just... Yeah. It was just something that was designed to kill, and so it was more of a slasher. You know,
it was
like,
it was a creature movie.
Yeah, a creature movie.
Okay, yeah, it wasn't an intelligent life
form.
I
think part of what scares me about aliens is that they, alien abductions more than anything. Like Independence Day doesn't really scare me. Like that's not a scary movie, but like, but
it's scary good.
Yeah, but I think what scares me about abduction is the fact that it's basically like perpetual torment. Like it's sort of like you're being tortured. And you never know when it's going to happen. You never know what's going to happen to you. It could go on for the rest of your life, and you're basically powerless to stop it. I think that's an important distinction between what all three of us actually listed. Is that I think Matt and I's is less plausible, but if it happens, that means that you're also pretty powerless to stop it. Because
we're screwed.
Yeah, like you said, you can't stop you can't stop a ghost with a gun, and theoretically you could shoot an alien, but you never know, they could have shields or whatever, you know. You might be powerless to stop them. And
well, if you have M. Night Shyamalan, if you're thinking of M. Night Shyamalan, all you need is a super soaker.
Yep.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Yeah. But
or even a movie like The Fourth Kind.
I was going to bring that up. That was going to be my next one.
Yeah. Was that your obvious one? The one that I... Or no. You meant Alien.
One was Alien. Okay. Yeah.
But The Fourth Kind, like, that was kind of a crappy movie. It wasn't really that good, but it scared the living crap out of me.
I was going to say the same thing. Me too.
Yeah, I thought it was...
very atmospheric. I liked it.
Right. Especially with the found footage and all that stuff. That aspect of it was... really cool, like the juxtaposition of the found footage and the reenactments or whatever. I thought that added a whole new element to it, especially to found footage films. But that, I don't know, that one scared the crap out of me, especially when the alien started speaking like Sumerian through the people, like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's right.
Like he said, "I will impose my will upon the human race" and stuff like that. That was just...
That's
that
creepy.
Was just terrifying. That really got me. Yeah. From
did you see did you see Dark Skies?
I did. I watched that recently too. Yeah.
It was okay.
It was okay. It was
light scares if you like alien movies. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Area 51, I looked it up on IMDb, and it has IMDb lists its release date as November 15th of this year, but I think that's like a Wikipedia kind of thing, like it's not confirmed or anything.
Right.
But hopefully we get to see it, because that'd be interesting. I remember when Super 8's trailer came out, I thought for like a split second when I first saw the trailer for Super 8 that showed the train wreck and all that, I thought, is this for Area 51?
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, Super 8, I love Super 8. Tiny, what do you think of Super 8, actually? It's an alien movie.
Yeah, I liked it. That one didn't really scare me for some reason. I'm not sure why. I thought it was more creature than alien. And again, it doesn't have the abduction aspect to it.
What about The Thing?
What about The Thing?
Huh. I love The Thing. I don't know. I don't really think about that as an alien movie, I guess. It is.
Yeah,
it definitely is,
but I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
Not in the sense of something that can abduct you.
Exactly. Yeah.
More of a creature feature like Matt said earlier.
It is scary, but it didn't scare me I just appreciated the movie. I thought it was incredible, especially the John. I assume you're talking about the John Carpenter one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because the newer one was terrible. The remake was terrible. But
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
So yeah, I love that movie, but it, for some reason that doesn't really scare me too much.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do you want to move on to what scares me, the ghost story ones, or?
Yeah,
I want to hear them. Yeah.
All right. Well, first on the list, I prepared a list.
What? Yeah. What is your ultimate scary paranormal movie?
That would be the first Paranormal Activity.
Aha. Nice.
I mean, this is the story I tell everyone when I tell them about Paranormal Activity. I saw the original one at the theater, middle of the day. I work nights, so I have in my room, I'm staring at it right now, my windows are blacked out by bed sheets to make sure my room is dark at all times.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the theater for a matinee because I work nights, like I said, so I'm up all day, or I sleep during the day. So I stayed up a little late, went to go see it, and it's just, at the end of it, it's the only scary movie I can remember where I left the theater, visibly, shaking. My hands were shaking. Mm-hmm. I was terrified. The moment where I'm getting chills just thinking about this, that the moment toward the end where, I guess spoiler alert, but when she screams his name, that is, the most chilling thing I've seen in that I can remember.
Yeah. Like when she's downstairs?
Yes. Yeah. She's like, Mika! I'm just like, that is so scary.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sat in my car for a few minutes, and I think I sent a text to you, Mike, but I was like, I was so terrified. I was just, I had never experienced that.
Did you see that? I'll make a few comments, but check the date when you saw that. I'm interested to see one of us saw it first. After I saw it,
I think you saw it first.
I saw it on October 23rd of 2009.
Interesting.
When it came out, yeah. And I enjoyed it, and I was mildly scared, but slept soundly that night. I did a double feature with Saw 7 and Paranormal Activity, and just went to bed right after. And my roommate at the time, I remember he came up, he woke up the next morning. Or I woke up the next morning. He was like, "Man, did you sleep last night?" I was like, "Yeah, so fine." Why? he's like, "I didn't sleep at all."
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh wow, I saw it on the 25th. So that was what day did you say? You said 23rd?
I saw it the 23rd. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a couple days after you saw it.
Okay.
But yeah, and it was just like, and when I came home, like I said, middle of the day, I was getting ready to go to sleep, and I had a fan on in my room. And like as I'm changing into my pajamas, it's an oscillating fan. So it moved, and it moved a piece of paper off of my desk, and I freaked out. Like I jumped. It was it affected my mood for the entire, probably the rest of the week, I would say.
That's great.
That's awesome. The franchise dipped from there, and what are you going to say? But, and actually, while we're on the subject, I read that they're not going to release Paranormal Activity 5.
Yeah, I saw that.
Until, January.
Yep.
Which is crazy, because, I mean, say what you will about the sequels, but, I mean, the past 4 years, I mean, it's been a staple of Shocktober for me. I'm going to the theater to see it. I saw a midnight screening of Paranormal Activity 4.
Hmm. Oh, me too. And that was one of the... I saw it with... I did a double feature of Sinister, a 9 o'clock or whatever, and then we saw the midnight of Paranormal Activity 4. And just the quality of the two movies. I loved Sinister, by the way.
I still haven't seen it. I'm saving it for this month.
Yeah. Be excited. It's awesome. Especially if you enjoy the paranormal and disturbing. But anyway, I mean, the crowds for each were so different, and I hated the crowd for Paranormal Activity. Now, I go to a lot of midnight showings, and all the comic book movies I love. this was a whole different animal. Literally at the climax of the fourth movie, and I guess we're not at the statute of limitations yet, so I won't do spoilers.
Okay.
But
just say the one scary part of the movie.
The one scary part of the movie. The scary 7 minutes of the end of the movie.
Yes.
A guy literally jumping on his seat, screaming at his friend how scary it was. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. I had an
obnoxious theater experience with that too, because right behind me, literally right behind me, every time the scene cut to a night sequence that was taping and they showed the date on the screen, this gentleman behind me would say, "That's my birthday."
Oh,
every single one. And the first time I'm like, okay, cool, just cool it. Second time I'm like, oh, cool, that's my sister's birthday too, so shut up.
But do you know what? The movie deserved that kind of attention.
It did.
For the fourth one.
But not on the first view. I mean,
I guess
it's a midnight screening. And then, like, about halfway through, like, you could tell, like, none of his stupid joke wasn't landing with any of his friends. So, like, about halfway through, he stopped. But I was just like, you suck. You suck so much.
Yeah.
But, yeah, and that movie was – I will say that Paranormal Activity 4 was the very best Xbox Kinect commercial I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
I thought that part of that movie was pretty eerie, actually, where you could see the outline of the demon or whatever. I thought that was actually pretty scary.
It was, but it wasn't
– I was able to look past the gimmick, I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have liked it a lot more if they didn't make a point to say, oh, the Kinect is really great.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. If we had the time, and we don't, I'd let you read my text message for that day, Matt, mm-hmm. on the podcast of my review after seeing it.
Oh, okay.
Which do you remember? Do you remember when I texted you immediately after seeing it?
No.
And it was
it was a very long.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Pages worth in a text of just tearing the movie to shreds.
Oh yeah, it was great too. It was great.
Yeah.
But going back to the original, I have points to make about it, but what I love most about the original that frightened me was that it's a great example of perfect escalating terror, perfect escalating tension,
mm-hmm.
because it's just, the pacing is just spot on for me at least. 'Cause it's just a gradual shift toward just this horrific, finale. And then also as kind of a B story to it, I guess, is the destruction of Katie and Mika's. I can't remember. Wow.
Mika.
Wow. Mika. Yes. Yeah. Mika. That's right. 'Cause it's a weird, yeah. Anyway, the complete, destruction of their relationship. And
yeah,
like, I don't know if you noticed, like in the movie, Katie, like there's a few instances where she says gosh instead of like God, which doesn't really, the first like dozen times I watched the movie, it didn't really register with me. But wow. Like last year,
like I'm going to talk year, about that in a second.
Yeah. I don't know if I've literally said it.
No.
Seen it,
well, I know,
times,
but
okay.
Go ahead.
But anyway,
go ahead.
It's just like, like there's a scene where she almost slips up and says God while she's talking to the psychic. But she like corrects herself and she says gosh. So it kind of seems like they're painting her as this not really angelic, but kind of this pure kind of character who is just haunted by this demon. And it kind of comes out as more visual when she's clutching the crucifix after all that. But and also just the tension ratchets up in sync or whatever with their sleep deprivation and their tension in their relationship escalates with the tension in the house. And I just think it's just a great dynamic that was set in that movie. And one of the scariest moments in that movie is toward the end when spoiler alert, but I mean, it's like 5 years old.
Yeah.
But is at the end when she's possessed, like I think it's after she's been bitten, And they're talking about, they're like, all right, screw this. We're going to the hotel. We're leaving this house. And she's like, it's like the demon is speaking for her. And she's like, I think we'll be okay now. And then it's just like, just saying that just gives me chills. Mm-hmm. And like, there's like, you can see on her face as Mika leaves the room, she has this like smile that's like slightly distorted.
Yeah.
And it's just chilling to me.
Yeah. I know she's talking about that part. It's pretty scary.
Yeah. And there's like a little effect on the voice when she says, we'll be okay now. It's like through a filter.
Yeah. That's what I like. I
loved it.
It's her voice. It's doubled.
Yeah.
Her voice
yeah.
Is
there
doubled.
You go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But what were you going to say, Mike?
Well, I was just going to say, I know you haven't watched it dozens of times, but I'm sure you've watched it a dozen times. Can I say that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've probably watched it a dozen times. I've watched it without fail each year, and a couple years I've watched it multiple times.
Okay.
I saw it in the theater like three times.
Holy cow. Yeah. I don't know. I've seen it maybe three times. I don't know if I can ever watch it again.
Wow.
It's interesting. Now, don't get me wrong. The first time, I loved it. The second time, I liked it a lot, and the third time, I kind of like watching it with people who hadn't seen it before.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I was mildly bored the third time watching it.
Huh.
Interesting.
Because there's nothing about it that had, I guess this is kind of a video game reference phrase, but replay value about it.
Okay.
There's none of the scares are too subtle. They're played well, but they're too subtle to warrant repeat scares. They're never scary again after I've seen them for the first time. Hmm. I don't know why that is, but it is.
Interesting.
And you could kind of say that about most movies. Do you have anything more to say about this? Because this is kind of a good segue into mine.
Yeah. I was just going to say real quick, and I'm going to throw it to Tiny here for a second in case he has anything to say. But it seems like you're viewing it more in terms of scares, like kind of like how you said with comedies, your joke density meter.
Sure, but that's not to say I don't pay attention to the quality of the movie.
Right, right.
But and, for a movie like Paranormal Activity, I would argue that it's good because it's scary. And when it's not scary anymore, it's not that great. She's annoying. Okay. He's annoying. And then it's really just a bunch of talking. I agree that you can see that there's a dissolving of their relationship.
Yeah.
And I can't argue that the character development is good. But are they very interesting? I don't think so.
Okay, I can respect that. I view it more in terms of the atmosphere and just, I mean, if you watch it under the right settings, it'll get under your skin.
Yeah.
Still with me. I mean, it's been like a year since I watched it, but I mean, I'll watch it this year again. But I need to make sure that I have everything. I don't want any distractions. It's kind of, I want to be enveloped in the movie.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't watch it in the dark alone before bed. I'll admit that.
Okay. Yeah. Tiny, did you have any thoughts on Paranormal Activity?
Just two things real quick. I agree with Matt. I thought it was a terrifying movie. I really did. I thought it was incredibly scary. I had trouble sleeping when I saw it in the theater. I saw it. Matt said he saw it three times in the theater. I think the second, maybe even the third time, I think I saw it twice with Matt in the theater. And like, that first time I had trouble sleeping. So it really got to me. And I think part of what makes it especially scary, possession in general, I think, is what's really scary is that it was evidenced in the film that it's forever, like she was you know possessed as a kid, or she was you know taunted by this thing as a kid, and it's still with her as an adult. And given the canon, I guess, or the theory of you know where this all comes from, is that it's going to be part of her afterlife as well. So it's literally for eternity she will be. Yeah. Her soul, even in the afterlife, will be tormented by this thing. And that's what's most scary about it to me. So
I agree.
Yeah, I can agree with that, too. The idea of hell is a pretty terrifying one.
Right.
Yeah. Mike, we'll get to your points, too. But I wanted to say that I had another movie on my list that I'll just briefly talk about because it's a classic. The Shining.
Mm. Okay.
Ever heard of it? Kubrick's a genius. The way that he composes his shots, and it's like the perfect use of wide angles is just phenomenal. And it's a ghost story too. And like he shows the audience the gargantuan size of the hotel, and it slowly shrinks. Like it shrinks and makes you claustrophobic as you watch the characters be claustrophobic and turn murderous and all that. So yeah, that's, I mean, that's a classic. We don't need to talk about it. I just wanted to mention that because I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll say, go ahead, Tiny.
I was just going to say that's a movie that's, it's a ghost story or a paranormal story that's kind of masked as a slasher. Because
that's true.
It's a guy
yeah.
who goes
in a
and
sense,
hunts down
yeah.
his family. Yeah, but yeah. okay.
Yeah. And it also influenced, it probably more than anything, its legacy, particularly on the father tries to kill children kind of deal. Mm-hmm. Like when the Amityville Horror came out, and I'm talking about the original one, not the Ryan Reynolds classic.
Right.
which I actually liked when I was in high school.
I remember when I met you.
Yeah. anyway, that the book had nothing to Jay Anson, I think, is the author. The book has nothing to do with the father trying to kill the kids. That was never part of the story. The claim was that the father tried to kill, but because of the influence of The Shining, that's a Simpsons reference, by the
of
way.
Of course, yeah.
I knew you guys would know. But anyway,
you mean Shining? Yeah. You want to get
no.
sued?
The Shining, yeah. but anyway, that's they ripped that from The Shining.
Interesting,
yeah. So pretty cool.
Yeah. Did you want to talk about your slasher?
I will.
Movies?
I also kind of want to bring up an interesting point, and I kind of thought about this when Tiny, you were talking about why that scares you so much, and I don't know exactly what to make of this. I'm kind of just making an observation. It's similar to what I said about how I'm not actually sitting up in bed at night, like being sad about the world, about people are going to kill me. And I'm pretty sure that you guys aren't sad at night thinking about the idea that you might burn in hell, right? Because that's something that the three of us don't subscribe to.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's interesting that we use those things as the things which we are most afraid of, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is pretty interesting. Good point. It's something, like you said, the idea of hell and
it's terrifying, absolutely.
It's terrifying. Oh, yeah. And like I said, I don't particularly subscribe to the paranormal philosophies or whatever, but it's a terrifying thought.
Yeah.
And it is. It goes back to when you're a kid and you think of monsters in your closet or under your bed. It's like it's not plausible. It's not there, but it's a fear. It's just the nature of fear.
Absolutely. Okay, well, I can talk about, I talked about the genesis of my fear, which was Jason Voorhees, and I've always loved the Friday the 13th series, even when Jason goes to Manhattan, I still followed him all the way through. I love the Friday the 13th movies so much. It peaks at 4, make no mistake. I'm not that dumb to think it gets any better.
Yeah. Right.
But anyway, so that was kind of the start. I think the most important for me, I'd like to talk about the Scream movies, I guess.
Oh, yes.
There's of course, the obvious Halloween, and if we have more time, I'll talk about what that means to me.
You mean, by Halloween, do you mean Alien on Earth?
Nice. Well, what year? Alien came out in 1979, and Halloween was released in 1978, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, there was a production. You gotta consider that. Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, No, okay. Alien on Earth, right. but anyway, I'll talk about that. So I guess I'd rather talk about something that is, I guess, more important to my... fear of slashers. Scream 2, I saw the summer it came out. We rented it, and I remember hearing about the first Scream and asking friends about it. And I asked one friend in particular what it was about, and he's like, "It's about this game where he asks you questions over the phone, and if you get him wrong, you die."
Oh, that's such a crappy description.
I know, it's not a description at all. And then they describe this girl getting crushed by a garage.
Yes.
And I thought that she was standing there and the garage came down on top of her and she like crumpled like an accordion, which is not true. So I had these images in my head of what Scream would be. Of course, I had no idea what Scream 2 would be like, but we rented it anyway. And I didn't see the first one before I saw Scream 2. And that is one of the first times I can remember vividly, you know, there's the Jason Goes to Hell incident, but vividly not sleeping a wink. Literally the whole night because of that movie. I mean, I would close my eyes and I would see what I guess is now called Ghostface, just right in front of my face. I would, like, hear sounds that I thought were Ghostface. Nothing about the idea that he died at the end of the movie was settling to me. And the whole next day, which was probably a Saturday because my parents were off work. That's how I remember that. Okay. We went to a water park. We went to water parks often in the suburbs of Chicago. And and I would, like, see Ghostface in the crowd, like, swimming in the pool.
Wow.
Just, like, that's I would turn awesome around. Like almost that scene where Sydney is kind of doing the acting, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And she sees Ghostface dancing.
Huh.
And, I saw that while we were at the pool. And it was just terrifying until, and this is embarrassing to admit, but I'm going to admit, until the first time I saw Scream from start to finish, which was freshman year in college when I was 18 years old.
Wow.
That's when you first saw it?
You were there. You were in the room when I watched Scream for the first time.
That's right. Because not to hijack your
no. Whatever, by all means, go ahead.
Scream is
let me interrupt. I'm sorry. Okay. You've called it the movie that made you love movies.
Exactly. Right? Like, yeah. And I was so mad when we finished recording the nostalgia movies episode because I needed to include that because that is literally the genesis of my movie fandom.
Yeah.
Because I like the way I watched Scream was my parents rented it, and we watched it just middle of the day and all that. And I was into it. It was cool. But the thing that I loved about it was that the characters loved the meta aspect of it.
Yeah.
The characters loved movies. They loved talking about horror movies, and they talked with such authority on these subjects. And I was like, I want to be like that.
Yeah.
So I would go, and then like Scream when Scream 2 was in production, I would like go. This was when I was in like what, like 6th, 7th grade.
We would have been in 6th grade.
Yeah. Like I'd go to the library and use their internet and like look up like the latest rumors and all this stuff. And it's like I remember going to the Dimension Films website and going onto their Scream 2 page to see if there's any updates. And like it was just like I was a movie fan from there.
I was so averse to the idea of Scream and the Ghostface killer and I'll give two instances. The first is I spent the night at a friend of mine's house after Scream 2 came out, and he wanted to be the killer. He just called him Scream. He wanted to be Scream for Halloween, and he like decided that he was going to go upstairs and put the costume on and call me up there and scare me. But I knew that the son of a gun was going to do it.
Nice.
And he's like, I'll be right back. He's like, which funny, it's kind of a line from the movie anyway.
Right.
He's like, Mike, come up here. And I'm like, no. He's like, come on. And so he kept chiding me to come upstairs, even though I knew he was there with the mask on. So he came downstairs. He was disrobed, but he like showed me the mask, and it unsettled me so much that I had to call my mom and go home.
That's awesome.
And I was 12, which is pretty old to be too scared to stay at a friend's house.
Yeah.
And then the next one is when I was in high school in 99, when the promos for Scream 3 came out, I couldn't even watch them. like when Ghostface would jump up in the window in the scene where Sydney is kind of at her own house or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's the dream sequence, you know?
Yes, that was the one scary part of the entire franchise. Like I was going to say, I wasn't scared by it or anything.
Yeah.
But
well, but not the mother when Ghostface jumps out at the end.
Right, right.
That's the scene in the TV spot that scared me. So I've since seen them. I have since called them as important to my movie watching life as they are to you. I just discovered them later. And as much as I love Shocktober, and as much as I adore slasher movies, Scream came very late for me, and horror movies came very late for me. And I'm almost kind of embarrassed to admit it, that Jason was my first experience with all of that.
He's a classic. He's a classic character.
He is, yeah. But Scream is so much better.
It really is.
And I was way too old to see it as late as I saw it.
I was way too young to have seen Scream 2 in the theaters, I feel like. Because I made my mom take me to go see it.
That's crazy.
I even saw it twice in theaters, actually. The scene where Randy's scene in Scream 2. I mean, that just devastated me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tiny, you've been kind of quiet about this. What is your take on the Scream franchise?
Just a fun fact, Scream was one of the first, maybe even the first rated R movie I ever saw.
Wow.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah, because and I saw it secretly. Like, my parents wouldn't let me watch rated R movies. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, I think my brother got someone's VHS copy, and he was like, hey, you want to watch Scream? And I was like, what? We can watch it? Really? He's like, yeah, I borrowed it from so-and-so. I'm like, yeah, let's watch it.
Nice.
And so, you know, I was just excited about people dropping the F-bomb, really.
Right.
It's funny because that, I really appreciate the movie. I think it's a really cool concept. I think it's funny. It's really interesting. It's a great movie. I like it a lot, but even when I watched it back in fifth grade, sixth grade, it does not scare me even in the slightest. Like, I don't find it. Maybe the opening scene where Drew Barrymore is on the phone with him and stuff, that's kind of scary.
Right.
But
which I feel is one of the most important scenes in horror movies, I guess, in the last 20 years.
Oh, I totally agree. I can't repeat that.
If we're saying the last 20 years, it is probably the most important scene in horror movies.
Oh yeah, I would agree with that totally.
Absolutely.
But I don't know. I wouldn't even call it a gripe with slasher movies, but just what about it that does not scare me is just the fact that, I don't know, maybe this is kind of I'm not trying to brag or anything, but I'm kind of a big guy, and like, if anybody tried to attack me, I would just absolutely decimate them. Like, like, I'm not trying to say I'm some kind of badass, because I'm not, but like, I don't know, it just, like, especially, who's the actor, not Matthew Lillard, but the other guy who played the...
Oh, Skeet Ulrich.
Johnny Depp younger version.
Exactly, like, I just imagine, like, him trying to swing at me, and I would just do that thing where I put my hand on his head, and he's like, he can't reach me, you know? Like, that's, like, he's not menacing at all. Like, I don't know, it didn't get to me in that way. And even, like, I can understand, you know, Jason and stuff like that, and, like, Halloween, you know, I can understand that being scary, because it is. It totally is, but they don't. Again, those don't get to me the way that other stuff does, like the paranormal or aliens.
Again, I get now, as an adult male who has since watched those movies plenty of times, that it is not nearly as scary. There are scarier things.
Mm-hmm.
And admittedly, I have a real problem being scared of anything the second time. And I don't, I'm going to steal one of your lines. I don't mean to sound like a tough guy either. I wish I could be as scared as I was when I saw Scream 2. I wish a movie would do that to me, and I wish I could feel that feeling again where I have trouble sleeping and the next day is weird. But I haven't had a feeling near that since I saw Scream 2.
Hmm.
I wish the same thing for me in Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
And going back to what Tiny said about Skeet Ulrich, and what you said, Mike, about him being Johnny Depp younger, I just want to throw this in there that He is like Johnny Depp. He's if you will, he's a Johnny Deppelganger.
Oh no! Did you come in just to say that?
Yep. No shame.
Oh my god.
No shame.
That's
but no, I wish that I could replicate my feelings about my reaction to Paranormal Activity, because I mean, I talked about how it affected me, and what I neglected to mention was that night I had to go into work and work in an empty office building all night. In the dark. And I mean, that's, I don't know. It was frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, the thing about it, you know, just being young, and this is pretty obvious, is that, that it was just laying in bed. It was very likely, well, not likely, very possible. Well, you can't be very possible, but it was possible that he could be under my bed waiting to stab me. And that terrified me. I guess that's what did it for me.
Right.
Yeah, and I think I will say about the, you know, the kind of the two most notable franchises in the slasher genre, Halloween and Friday the 13th, I will say that what makes those kind of scary, at least just personally, what makes those kind of scary is the fact that Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees are both unstoppable, because you know, they've been in like what, 10 movies each or whatever, like they,
something like that,
you can't kill them, like, and that doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense, but it's just a fact of, it's just part of the canon of the franchise that they can't die, and so that's what makes those
those franchises in particular, or those characters in particular, scary, is that they cannot be stopped. And that's, right. I brought that up earlier, is that, you know, it's the unknown, you know, that's what's scary about it. You can't stop, you can't do anything. It's going to happen to you.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. Mike, I want to ask you, your thoughts on Halloween, because I know that's near and dear to your heart. So, you want to talk about Halloween for a bit?
Well, I have this weird obsession with, like, ranking my favorite movies of all time. And I know you guys always talk about how hard that is. And I have said for years that it's Back to the Future, and I kind of switched around. Rocky was in there. But one of the most consistent in the top three, and certainly my favorite horror movie of all time, is Halloween.
Nice.
And embarrassingly enough, again, the first time I saw the movie from start to finish, like opening credits to closing credits, was college. That same October, or that same fall, that we roomed together and I saw Scream. Other than that, it was always like my parents were watching it on TV, and I would catch the first little bit until Michael Myers was standing behind the car, and then I just have to quit. Yeah. and then, like, I would catch the last little bit when Laurie Strode was trying to get into the house and Michael was walking slowly behind her, was terrifying. But, of course, everybody knows Halloween would not be nearly as influential, nearly as important, if it weren't for that the John Carpenter score.
Oh, yeah. That's right? Iconic.
I mean, that is – people think about movie maniacs and their masks. And sure, the white William Shatner mask is scary,
right.
But the iconic Halloween score is that movie. That's what does it.
It forged an association in my brain to Halloween, the holiday, and
the holiday,
to Sharktober
absolutely.
In general.
Yeah, right.
It's
exactly.
Like, I mean, I equate that music with fall.
Yep, so do I.
I love it.
And I guess the love I have for it is how much it terrified me when I was younger. I would be laying in bed upstairs, and I could hear the TV downstairs when my parents would watch it. My mom loves it too. And just the theme alone would keep me up all night.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's powerful.
I would go as far as to say that, with the exception of Psycho and Star Wars, that is the most iconic music ever in film history, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah,
I would throw in Jaws as well, but yeah.
Jaws, yeah, that's
oh,
true.
Oh,
yeah.
That's true.
There was actually a post online somewhere, on Reddit, where they said, play the John Williams game, and it's basically have someone hum the theme to, like, music from Star Wars, and then go to, go to Indiana Jones, and then go to something else I can't remember. But anyway, it's like it gets to the point where it's like they're so similar that it's hard to Jurassic Park, throw that in there.
Yep.
That they're so similar. But anyway, yeah.
Well, but yeah, I mean, the John Carpenter theme is nothing like that.
Right.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just so great. I love it because it is played very, very minimalistic. That's obvious.
Yes.
Low budget. When it came out, it was the most successful independent film of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly not anymore,
right.
By a long time. I love the minimalistic. I love the simple, how it's just the babysitter killer. I love that they didn't even refer to him as Michael Myers throughout the movie.
Right.
It's just the shape. Or evil incarnate. I just love how many horror tropes are based on it.
Mm-hmm. And Donald Pleasance.
Yeah.
How great was he?
He's awesome.
Wow. He was phenomenal.
Yeah, he is. And I never find much use for him later on in the sequels. He's always just kind of the almost like the chorus telling us how evil he is. The evil is back. And he gets kind of useless, but at the beginning, he's definitely awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. He's great in the first one.
Yeah. And you talk about tension and rising tension, in Paranormal Activity and how it builds. That's just the best example in slasher is Halloween for rising tension.
Okay.
I agree completely.
Mike, what did you think of Rob Zombie's remake of Halloween?
Ooh, good question.
That is a good question.
You saw it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I saw it at midnight. You know, he had a vision. Yeah. And he certainly sticks to that vision, and I'll give him credit for what he is trying to do. It's just not for me.
Okay.
Okay? If it were the first Halloween movie, I would give it all the credit in the world for having a vision of what he's trying to do. He's definitely going for just the dregs of society and to show you the violence of death and really make you feel awful at the end of a movie. He does that. He accomplishes that. I'll say it's a pretty well-made movie. Is it what I want out of a Halloween movie? Absolutely not. He totally doesn't get tension. He doesn't get suspense. And he doesn't even really get horror. He just wants to bash you in the face with gore.
Yeah, he does. That's true.
I agree. Huh.
I actually really liked it. I thought it was... obviously, there's no way it's better than the original, but I'm just saying I thought it was... I thought it was a cool way to take source material and make it your own. I thought it was pretty good. Especially the whole, again, the whole slasher thing doesn't really do much for me, but I thought the first half, you know, analyzing his psychosis from childhood, you know, I thought that was really, that was the part that I really liked. And I was surprised, I was surprised to see that kind of depth from Rob Zombie. Which, you know, I had only known him for his House of Thousand Corpses and Devil's Rejects and stuff like that. So I was surprised to see that depth from him, and I was pretty impressed by it.
It is good, and it is deep, and that's what, if it were the first of its kind, I would have liked it. What I don't like is what it does to the mythology, the legend of the shape, how he's just the embodiment of evil. I don't need to know that Michael Myers came from Trailer Park Trash and this happened that made him become so evil. He just is evil, and he's this unstoppable force. And while that's a little too mystical and hokey, for my tastes, it works in the original Halloween. It's scary because he can't be stopped. He could be anywhere. He was in Haddonfield, Illinois, which is a fictional place, but it's in Illinois, which scared the crap out of me because I was from Illinois. Mm-hmm. But when they become rednecks, I don't know any rednecks like that in Illinois, that people that trashy. My favorite part of Rob Zombie's Halloween is that middle third, which is essentially the sped up version of John Carpenter's Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just thrown right into the middle of the movie.
Yeah. Hmm. Cool. Yeah. So. And then just one more quick thing for Mike. Not necessarily the franchise, but what did you think of, like, the first Saw movie?
Oh, I really love the first Saw movie.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I'm actually, I know Matt gave up quite early. I've actually watched all the Saw movies and have them all on DVD.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I enjoy them for the puzzle plots.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I like the... You get to a point where there's nobody to root for, and I hate that, and it really is just about watching how people die, not whether or not if they'll die.
Exactly.
And I don't like that, because I liked some of the characters early on, and I always wanted to see. When Donnie Wahlberg, who plays Eric Matthews in the second and fourth movies, he's briefly in the third, when he gets his head smashed by the ice blocks, then I lose interest. Then there's nothing to care about in the movie whatsoever.
Right. Yeah. I love the first one. I think one.
Me too.
I'm not a huge horror fan. I do like horror movies, but I think the best thing that a horror film can do is be original and come up with a completely new concept. And I think Saw was the most original horror flick since, like, Scream, probably, in my opinion. That's what I loved about it. That first one, just, like you said, the twists and the mystery and just the dark nature of it, I thought, you know, or just how disturbing it was incredibly well done. But with the sequels, it lost its luster, and it became all about gore as opposed to tone, I guess. And so I love the first one so much. It's the only one I own on DVD.
It is a great movie.
Yeah.
And it's almost
5-7.
Oh, okay. It's almost kind of cliche to say by now that people don't realize the first one wasn't as gory as the other ones. People kind of know that now. And I feel like they just need to remember it for how good it was. I'll say something really quick about most original movies, or I don't know. I want to make a recommendation, a movie called Behind the Mask, The Rise of Leslie Vernon.
That's such a great movie.
Isn't it the best?
Oh, it is.
It is. There's these movies every couple of years that lampoon horror of the time, and Scream of its time did what it needed to do. But, man, Behind the Mask did it in a different way that is just as good.
Yeah. I agree. It was a great movie.
So for satire slasher movies, I highly, highly recommend that movie.
Yep.
Cool.
It's good. Cool.
And then just really quick, since we're talking about stuff that scares us, there's a lot of other stuff that I think scare people, and I was curious if it scares you guys. The two, like, I guess the two things I would bring up are, are you guys scared by a movie like, kind of like Jaws, which is more suspense or thriller-ish, but like would a movie, a creature movie like that, that's completely like, not just plausible, but like could definitely happen, a movie like Jaws, like is that, do you find that scary, or do you find, also do you find like zombie movies scary? Like take your pick. I'm just curious what you guys think about that.
I don't to either. No.
Okay. Shark movies and like creature movies like that are plausible like that, I can see the fear in them, but I mean I can easily avoid it by just not going in the ocean.
Right.
As far as zombies, I purposely just avoided mentioning anything about zombies because I think we might do like a zombie episode because I mean
okay,
I love zombies, but to cool. answer your question, I don't find them scary. I love the genre
right.
for what it is. But I don't. I'm not scared, frightened of them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Me either. By the way. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Just curious.
All right. Well, is there anything you guys want to add, or I mean, should we wrap it up? Or.
I think I've said my piece.
Same here.
All right. So, as we are.
I smell something. Do you guys smell something? It smells good.
Potpourri.
Hey,
oh, potpourri.
Go.
I was going to say.
Oh, man.
Took us a second.
I was like, we're in Indianapolis. You're in Evansville. I hope I don't smell what you're smelling. But yeah, we're finishing up the episode. Basically, talking about anything we want, as long as it smells good or whatever that was. Whatever the
tagline
is.
That's
for
the saying.
Nice. So let's see. Tiny, do you want to get us kicked off on here?
I'd be happy to.
Sweet.
I just wanted to talk briefly about the premiere of Mom, the new show on CBS. I watched it last night. I didn't know much about it going in. The only reason I wanted to watch it is because Allison Janney is one of my favorite actresses.
Nice.
Big fan of hers, so I wanted to watch it for that reason. But I didn't know anything about it other than that. And so I suspected it was another Chuck Lorre show, but I wasn't sure. And after about 5 or 10 minutes, I was like, yeah, this is definitely Chuck Lorre. And it is. And that's exactly what it felt like. It felt like a guy who's got 4 shows right now, and he's just stretched way too thin.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But, I mean, it had a couple parts that were kind of funny. The teenage daughter is kind of funny.
Who plays... There's an actor or actress in that I remember that caught my eye, but I can't remember who it was. Who is all in it?
French Stewart is in it. Kind of funny.
And Anna Faris.
Anna Faris is the lead, and then Allison Janney plays her mom. Nate Cordry is the manager of the restaurant that Anna Faris works at.
Interesting. And then, it may have been Anna Faris that I was thinking of. But go ahead, sorry.
And then also the guy who, I don't remember the actor's name, but he played...
Matt Jones.
Is that him? He played
Badger. That's who it was.
Badger on Breaking Bad.
Badger.
Yeah. He plays Anna Faris's baby daddy, if you will.
Okay. That's who I... he plays... I saw like on Reddit or something, someone was like, or I saw it on Twitter, it's like, the guy who plays Badger is playing a guy named Baxter and he's talking about video games or something.
Yeah, it was funny. So yeah, it's probably not going to be that great of a show, to be honest.
Right.
Chuck Lorre, he's just spread way too thin. He needs to just tone it down a little bit.
He's like CBS's Seth MacFarlane.
Yeah. Which is...
Well put.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It is. Yeah, it's a good analogy. So, yeah, I'm probably going to stick with it just to support Allison Janney because I'm just a huge fan of hers. I think she's great.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I'm not super excited for it.
I don't get the Anna Faris love.
She's never really blown me away.
No, me neither. I always read things about how awesome she is and how everybody thinks she's just so hilarious. But like she's the second coming of Tina Fey or something.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. She is not. But I've heard talk like that.
I like her. I like her when she's not starring, like when she's a supporting character. Mm-hmm. I like her a lot better. Like in Take Me Home Tonight, which was a really underrated movie.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
She was pretty funny in that. She was a much more muted performance, and I liked her better.
Yeah.
So
I hate I hate to get superficial, but I wonder if she's had reconstructive surgery on her lips. Didn't she have lip surgery, and her lips were super huge for a couple years? I remember thinking, man, she's so pretty. Why did she do that? And now she's kind of back to. Look it up. Look it up around 2006 to 2010 or whatever. Huh. It looked like she had her lips done.
I don't know.
That wouldn't really surprise me, actually. I mean, that sounds like something that I didn't take notice of, but now that you mention it, something that I probably would notice more if I go back and watch some of her stuff from then.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So anyway. Anyway.
Okay. Mike, how about you?
Yeah, I just I feel like I might have mentioned it on the podcast before, or I'm going to mention it in the future. but there is a movie coming out that I'm really excited about. It's called All Hallows Eve, and it's coming straight to DVD, video on demand. And it's another – I'm always looking for the next great Halloween mood movie. Mm-hmm. Trick or Treat came out back in 2009. I guess it came out in 2008, but it didn't really get
Such
released until
2009.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I just awesome love that movie so much.
Here in Indianapolis, here in a few weeks, they're going to have a midnight screening at the Keystone Art Theater of Trick or Treat, and I'm going to be there absolutely. So if any stalkers want to find me, I'll be there.
Matt will
but
be there.
It's going to be awesome.
He'll be the handsome guy wearing a t-shirt.
Yes.
So the move, but anyway, I've been searching for the next great Halloween mood movie, because Trick or Treat maybe even better than Halloween the movie itself, 1978, puts you in the Halloween mood. So I'm kind of looking for that. It's basically, I've been calling it a mixture of It, as in Stephen King's It, mixed with VHS, the VHS movies.
Okay.
The synopsis is that this woman is looking forward to Halloween night at home with two kids. She finds an old unmarked VHS videotape in one of the kids' bags of candy. And on the tape, a series of wildly outlandish tales of murder, torture, and unearthly mayhem, all somehow linked to a diabolical clown from hell. And then as the movie goes, we learn that the clown is actually in the real world. So it seems super, super creepy and very tonally accurate as far as Halloween is concerned. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
That sounds really awesome.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard the full synopsis. All I knew about was that it had something to do with the VHS tape and it was like an anthology movie.
Uh-huh.
But, wow, that kind of sells me on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched the trailer for the first time and it was successfully scary looking.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited.
Yep.
That's awesome. Yep. It's funny because here in like an hour, I'm going to be going to sit outside of a house all night in my car. So it's a good image to have in my head. I'm doing it for work, everyone, just so you know. I'm going to be paid to be there. I'm not going to be creeping.
Yeah, but sure.
Yeah, we don't believe you.
Matt, are you looking forward to anything? Anything you want to tell us that you watched? Anything like that?
Well, I wanted to tell you guys that I watched the How I Met Your Mother final season premiere.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll talk briefly about it because we're already running a little long here. But I loved it. I really loved it. It's funny because we haven't done like a potpourri episode or a potpourri segment here in what seems like a long time. So I've accumulated a lot of stuff, but How I Met Your Mother is kind of the thing that jumps to mind because I was so impressed with the premiere.
Mm-hmm.
And as a side note, just as a shameless plug, if you want to hear about all of the other TV shows I watch on the blog on obsessiveviewer.com, I have a weekly segment on Sundays where I wrap up everything that I watch on TV and put it out there on Sunday. So check that out. But anyway, the How I Met Your Mother premiere, I wasn't too crazy about season 8 this last season. I felt like it was kind of, while the show is consistently funny for me, I feel like the character, or I feel like some of the interactions were a little sloppy.
Mm-hmm.
And others just blatantly stole from Friends. But anyway, the premiere was great. It's they're doing something different with this season, and for years I've applauded the series for their episodes. They have specific episodes that feel like they could be a rom-com movie. And it feels like I love those specific episodes, like The Window and, 3 Days of Snow somewhat.
Totally.
And, a bunch of other ones. Drumroll Please is the big one from first season.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like it's a rom-com, and, also Double Date from season 5. But anyway, and I feel like this season is like what they're doing is they're having the entire season tell the story of a 55-hour, like, wedding weekend, and it's all leading up to meeting the mother at the end of the season, while also interspersing with flashbacks and flash-forwards. And it's just it's very interesting because it feels like they're going to use – they're taking their, like, rom-com kind of feel and extending it to an entire season, and I couldn't be happier. What did you guys think of the premiere?
I thoroughly enjoyed it as well. I really like any episode where Ted lets his nerd flag fly. and the road trip thing where he wanted to make all the nerdy stops and he was wearing the driving gloves. I loved all that a lot. It was really funny for me. And not the concierge, but the guy at the front desk at the hotel.
Yeah. That was great.
He was really funny. I loved all that, especially like the close of the episode where he's encouraging Ted the whole time. I thought it was really funny. I liked it a lot. And I am totally a sucker for Billy Joel. So,
oh yes,
that scene where, you know, it was like a year later and they were at the bar and Souvenir by Billy Joel was playing under the whole thing. I damn near got choked up.
Me too.
Yeah.
I watched it on YouTube last night at work, and I was like, why am I watching this at work?
Oh, God.
This is bad.
I did too, and I even said out loud that I have a feeling that'll happen a lot this season.
Yeah.
No, absolutely.
That I'll get emotional.
Fun side note about that. The first on-screen words that Ted speaks to the mother are, "Hey, beautiful," which is the title of the theme song to the series.
Yep, that's awesome. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. That's great. Absolutely love it. Mike, what did you think of the premiere?
I also loved it. I kind of like Tiny said about when Ted lets his nerd flag fly. That's a tongue twister there. I like it too because he's me. That's how I am. It's kind of the same reason I like Ross from Friends.
Yeah.
So I thought it was really funny. And I've said before, and my brother and I kind of talk about it a lot, how the show has lost a step as far as the jokes per minute and the effectiveness of the jokes. But I'm really so invested in the stories of these characters and just to see, you know, how it ends, I guess, simply put, that this was really effective story-wise for me. Mm-hmm. Especially, like you said, Tiny, that end scene. I just thought was fantastic.
Nice.
I am worried. I hope they spend a lot of time away from the wedding. I think it could get a little old, 24 episodes of the being at this hotel. I'm not worried that they'll struggle with it, but I think in hands of less capable showrunners, that could be a tired concept.
I agree. And that reminds me of this funny post I saw on Reddit where they were like, I'm afraid that it, being at the hotel set could get a little old of the same set all season.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone replied with, "You're literally talking about a show where about 50% of the series takes place in a bar."
Yeah. The same bar.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it makes a lot of sense. It's, I agree that, Yeah, having it be like this thing. But I'm really hoping that it's going to be more reliant on flashbacks and flash forwards, and I hope that there's more backstory about the mother revealed.
We have been promised a slap, and it makes me wonder. I guess it makes me hope for a future Thanksgiving Slapsgiving episode.
Nice.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah. That could be a stretch. I guess I'm kind of just daydreaming, but
I didn't even consider how they were going to handle the holiday episodes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You know they'll be themed.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
they have to be.
And one final thing about the premiere, that for the entire run of the series, we've been waiting to meet the mother and waiting for Ted to meet the mother, and it never really crossed my mind that she's like, I've always said that How I Met Your Mother is like Friends for this decade.
Sure.
And with Friends, because they have a lot of similarities, group of friends in New York City, dating, all that stuff, sitcom. But the big difference is that Friends had 6 people, How I Met Your Mother has 5. Mm-hmm. And I've always felt like the mother is the 6th member of the How I Met Your Mother gang, and it's all about just meeting her.
Yes.
And I've always had that thought, but then I've always been waiting for Ted to meet her. And then there was that moment in the premiere, and early in the premiere, where Lily meets her, and there's that whole, and that kid is how your Aunt Lily met your mother. And I was like, it just clicked for me, like, she's going to meet everybody, and it's going to show how they're best friends, how she fits in with the group. And I think that's just brilliant.
Yep.
And that's a great way to tell the story.
Definitely.
I agree.
100%.
Should be good. Can't wait to see.
Yeah. Me too.
Me neither.
Maybe we should spend a whole episode talking about it.
Maybe. I'm Maybe sure we will.
To be continued.
Yes. All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up.
Yep.
We've taken enough of your time.
Hopefully it was well worth it.
I hope so too. Hopefully we didn't scare you too much.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Listeners, this is one of our favorite things to talk about, is Shocktober and our Shocktober schedules and what scares us. I in particular, have been looking forward to this episode, so please, please let us know what scares you guys. Let us know what you look forward to watching. Let us know if you have any traditions, movies that you must watch every year, shows that you must watch every Halloween because they scare you, they affect you in a certain way, or they just put you in that Halloween mood. Please let us know.
Yes, absolutely. You can reach us at ovpodcast@gmail.com. You can also tweet us at ObsessiveViewer, ObsessiveTiny, and at IAmMikeWhite. And you can reach us on Facebook at The Obsessive Viewer. And there's a Tumblr and a Google Plus out there, and we're all over the place.
Facebook, just MySpace, Facebook, Friendster, LiveJournal.
We're getting a little away from us, but also, of course, you can reach us at the blog at obsessiveviewer.com. All right. I think that about wraps it up, so why don't we call it a day?
All right.
Yeah, sounds good.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys. Tiny, did you have any thoughts on Paranormal Activity?
Just two things real quick. I agree with Matt. I thought it was terrifying. I thought it was terrifying.